Hey everyone, Jacob the Audio Guy here. Matt and I just performed at the Pod Jam at Viva Fest. Viva Fest is a big festival that happens here in Las Vegas every year, and this year they did a Pod Jam, a live podcast recording in front of their live audience, and we were invited to take part in it. We're very happy to have done that. We're very happy to have a great relationship with the organizers over there at Viva Fest, and we wanted to share what we did today with you. So here it is. Matt and Jacob coming to you live from the Pod Jam at Viva Fest. Here's the show.
All right. Joining us next here on Pod Jam, very excited to have some locals here joining us. This Las Vegas comedy podcast has been putting out episodes for a decade. Recent winner of the Golden Microphone for the Las Vegas Review Journal and Best Comedy Podcast from the Podcast Awards. Here's Matt Donnelly and Jacob Smith of Ice Cream Social. Take it away, boys, and welcome to Pod Jam.
What's happening, Pod Jam? Thank you so much.
Woo!
We can't possibly.
Please sit down.
Can't possibly live up to the hype, even though I wrote that hype. That is going to be tough to figure out. We're so excited to be part of the first Pod Jam.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being out here. We took an early morning slot here, so give yourselves a round of applause for being here at this time of the day.
That's Matt Donnelly. I'm Jacob Smith.
That's true. I'm Matt. That's Jacob over there.
Yeah.
And these lovely egg-like chairs, this like alien pod-like chair, was supplied by Pod Jam, so we got to give it up for them as well.
Yes.
A lot of other pod festivals will just do the folding chair, not here.
Nope. No,
comfy chairs.
Chairs shaped like eggs.
Tip top. Mm-hmm. We'll say, so there's a few of you here, and what we do a lot on our show is we solicit listener mail, okay? And what we would like to do is I'm going to tell you the typical topics that we typically have people write in mm-hmm. to us about, and then I'll bring up some topics for Jacob and I to chew on so that you can figure out how you can participate. But you guys participating would be a huge help and a lot of fun, I think, for what we're doing here today and in this format. So one we like to do is a shitty coworker story.
Yeah. Any kind of shitty job story.
Do you work with someone who you just can't, you want to vent about working with that person? Obviously, employees of Pod Jam should not participate until after the festival. But a lot of you guys have your regular jobs, if you can do that.
Oh, unless they're quitting right now.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty exciting,
if you
want to
quit in a blaze of glory right now.
Yeah, like if...
We would very much welcome that.
We could be like the scandal of the fest. That would be pretty impressive.
But, yeah, that'd be great.
One is we do life advice, obviously, if you have any life advice, although probably a lot of people do that one.
We're not good at it.
No, that's true, too. And we have a thing we call the Italian Air Show story, okay? And this is what's really important. Historically, the Italian Air Show is the Italian team in a Rammstein air show. They tried to make a heart with three planes mm-hmm. and an arrow going through it, and instead they all collided and fell to the ground. But not only did they fall to the ground and die, they poured burning jet fuel on the people watching.
Yes.
And so if you have a story where something was supposed to go really well, and then it got worse, and it got really worse.
Yes.
That's an Italian air show. And so if you have a story that fits, like I know, like I said, I'm going to give you time to ruminate, because that's a multiple checklist factor. But if you have one of those, we'd love one of those.
Yeah.
What else do we typically get?
I mean, we do all kinds of things. People doing their, we did the bad job stories.
It's a little early for first blowjobs, right?
It's a little early for first sexual experiences.
It's very early for that.
Yeah. We do a lot of those.
Some people even had breakfast. And some people now, because I said that, won't.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be careful with that.
I guess some of them could have had breakfast while getting a blowjob or giving a blowjob.
Now that's a story.
Yeah. If that happened to you today, please tell us about that as well.
Yeah.
We went and saw Bruce Springsteen last night.
That's right. Yeah. The two topics I have is I went to my kid's soccer game this morning.
Yep.
I'm sure people want to hear a lot about that.
That's what we're going to talk mostly about.
And then we went to Bruce Springsteen at T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah.
He did his first show in Las Vegas in 22 years.
Yep.
They asked Steven Van Sant, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you take a break? And he goes, I don't know. There's no plan. That's what his answer was. Why they haven't played Las Vegas. And in fact, they weren't supposed to play Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
This tour that the band is on now was part of a West Coast tour that was canceled when Bruce got some kind of throat sickness.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so then they're doing a bunch of make goods, and they decided not only should we make good on this, we should make additional money.
Oh.
And that's when they called up Las Vegas and played Las Vegas last night.
I would like to make additional money. Do you think I could play the T-Mobile Arena?
Let's give them a call.
Yeah.
And then just tell them you saw Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
You like that deal.
Yeah, yeah. Now let's do that. Let's get those people back in.
Yeah.
Let's whatever they paid for the Bruce show. I mean, I'm not Bruce Springsteen, so let's do like 10% less.
Yeah, that's
15.
That's fair.
Good. Good.
I'll call Tommy T-Mobile.
Good.
He's a friend of mine. So, but now for me, I'm a Jersey guy. I'm from Jersey. Anyone here from Jersey? Just.
Oh yes.
Okay. One. There you go.
It's more than I was hoping for.
What exit? Two up the Palisades Parkway. Perfect. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm originally from the shore. And so I grew up, Springsteen is like in our lives.
There was a remarkable amount of Jersey pride in that building last night.
Yes, there was.
It was, I mean, there was a lot of Springsteen asking like anybody from Jersey here.
Yeah.
And me going like, hey, he's going to get some kind of response for this.
Like I did. I just got one.
But it was huge.
The guy from the Palisades Parkway.
Yeah. There was more than one person there from Jersey last night.
That is true. That is true.
I was like, this is incredible. Jersey has traveled.
And you are not, you're from Louisiana.
I am.
You're not a Springsteen guy.
Not especially.
But you're a big music guy.
Yeah.
So you're like, this is a moment.
And Springsteen is one of the best at what he does.
Right.
Yeah, I want to go see cats that are so good at what they do. You just got to go see them.
So I had seen him. This will be my sixth time having seen him.
Mm-hmm.
This was your first.
It was my first for the full concert. I've seen him do.
You walked out on the other ones?
I did. Yes. Just yeah. Really. They. I booed and left. much like the gentleman earlier who said he was from Jersey. I believe. I think he booed and left. No, I had seen him do little. Like the Vegas thing that.
A big event fundraiser. Let's bring out the big cats.
So I saw him sing like I don't know. It might have been Born to Run, like on an acoustic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
One of those types of things. No, but never the experience.
The full E Street Band.
Yes.
Okay. Tell the people, what did you think?
Fantastic. First of all.
Okay.
Fantastic. Loved it. I gotta tell you, I was sitting there last night and I was thinking. I was watching Steven Van Zandt. I've seen Steven Van Zandt front his own band.
The right.
Little Stevie, you know, I've seen him front his own band. Guitar players, lead guitar players for rock bands, might be the closest thing we have to superheroes.
Right.
Real life superheroes.
Yeah.
Steven Van Zandt is dressed up like a pirate from the Jersey Shore on stage.
Yep.
And no one gives a shit.
No, he dresses weird.
Everyone is happy to see him.
And it's only gotten weirder with age. His legs have only gotten like weird skinnier. He wears very tight pants and he's walking around like a little lollipop person.
Yeah.
And he's got veneers that you can see no matter what
they glow.
No matter what row you're in, you get Van Sant's teeth, no problem.
Yeah.
That's an easy win.
Yeah.
For the concert ticket. And but they're all old men.
Yeah. Oh sure.
I saw them like 20 years ago, and they were kind of older then.
Yeah.
My dad saw them when they were broken up. This is a big thing back in the day. I mean, Bruce in the 90s, he had his own band. He plugged in on Unplugged, and he did like weird looping music for Streets of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
He grew a goatee, and people hate him for all of the things I just said. they hate that era.
Especially the goatee.
About it. But he was at in Rumson, New Jersey, the very fancy town he lived in. And my dad was grabbing dinner, and they said, it's Bruce's birthday, which is just something you can bring up in Jersey at any time. It doesn't apply that he's around. But in this case,
if you say Bruce, everyone just knows who you mean.
Yeah, no one thinks the shark from Jaws. Oh.
Good pull.
But in this case, he was there. And so all of a sudden, they're like, you want to go up? And so my dad got waved up into this like room that's smaller than the one that we're in now.
Oh.
And the whole E Street Band is on stage, and Bruce is there for his birthday. And they're basically going like, are we going to do this? And Clarence Clemons, he's dead now, so I can tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And apologies if you're just finding that out for the first time right now.
Yeah.
Basically goes, Said something like, give me some juice or something like that. Like, give me some weird phrase that my dad can't remember.
Okay.
But then a bag of cocaine comes up from the back of the house. Everyone just passes it forward like they're passing a beach ball. And they bring a fucking thing of cocaine down. And Clarence Clemens.
You're saying bag. You mean like a grocery bag, right?
Yeah, like a Trader Joe's
right.
Double handle.
Yeah, sure.
But a little baggie of cocaine. And then Clarence does a line. And then he's like, all right, now we can go. And then that's how the concert started.
Gotta prime the pump.
And there's like maybe 200 people in the room.
Yeah.
And they do their first quote-unquote reunion show at his birthday.
And your dad was there?
And my dad was there.
Oh, that's great.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you go to Jersey, like about 5,000 people claim to have been in that room. And okay. So maybe my dad's one of the liars, but as far as I know, he was there that night and did it.
My dad wasn't there.
No.
He says he was, though. He talks about it all the time. He won't shut up about it.
Take a break.
You weren't there.
From teaching school.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see the E Street Band play.
You were a teacher in Louisiana at the time. You weren't at a bar in Jersey. In a nice town in Jersey.
Did anything surprise you about last night?
It was stripped down more than I expected it to be.
It's not a fancy show.
It's not a show. It's a show, but it's not a spectacle show.
People next to me were like, he should play the Sphere. And I was like, what?
Why?
I was like, what? What about your knowledge of the Sphere and what you're watching makes you feel like you've discovered chocolate and peanut butter?
Right.
This will not, there's nothing fancy about it.
But there were a few screens, good size screens,
what,
but not
what would
big
billion
screens.
Dollars of graphics and video look like for, you know, songs about bringing a wrecking ball to giant stadium?
I think it would look the same as it did last night. I think they just put his face on there just, so you could see him from farther away.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. No, not the case. Yeah, it is just a band show for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at, because I mean, I've toured bands, I've toured a lot of shows, and I was looking at, I was like, I think this might be like a 3, maybe 4 truck show. This isn't that much. It's like the whole thing fits in like 3 18 wheelers.
That's where you're an audio guy. I hardly ever measure concerts by truck.
Yeah,
I never rank them.
Nah, it's like a 3 truck show.
All right.
Because the biggest thing they've got Truss and they've got a Race.
I would love, like, if this goes out and then, like, and the Springsteen tour manager happens to run, like, a 5 truck show.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what the fuck? Give me Ice Cream Social's number. We got to take them down.
Or it'd be like, oh, shit, Jacob thinks we can do it in 3 trucks. That's going to save us a lot of money on trucks.
We can do it. I told you guys we can do it in 3.
This guy says we can do it in 3.
We don't need Gary W. Talent's omelet station
anymore.
We don't need it.
If they're traveling an omelet station, bravo.
Oh, man. I bet these guys have been traveling forever with each other.
Yes.
And they've all grown up with families. And I know from growing up in Jersey, like there's basically like a community of people that are all friends that just simply travel with the tour to hang with the tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a very populated backstage.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Did you see on Twitter, Flava Flav went backstage and met the boss?
No.
Yeah. Flava Flav, it was so funny. It's like Flava Flav's excited. He goes back there, then boom, there's Bruce Springsteen. He's excited.
Uh-huh.
They shake hands, and then they have absolutely nothing to talk about. They don't even know.
My only question is, what did they discuss?
Nothing to say.
you be Bruce, I'll be Flav.
Okay. Flava Flav.
Hey, Brucey! Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, it was great. I got a clock.
That's basically it.
Look at my clock.
That is basically what's on Twitter. If you go to Flavor Flav's Twitter, that is basically it. Only Steve Vincent's also hanging out. Looks like he's waiting to be introduced.
To Bruce?
No. As if Bruce is supposed to say, like, and this is Steve.
Steven, meet
Steve. Flav, Steve. Yep. Oh, I'm a huge fan of your early work.
Have you ever met Flav?
I have not. He is a figure in town.
Yeah.
He's a local.
I've met him a few times. The first time I met him, though, was at Denny's.
Okay.
It was like 3 a.m. at a Denny's.
Meet and greet. And here formal signing.
Exactly.
Signing album.
Yeah. I paid a few $100 to meet him at Denny's. Yeah, I was at a Denny's.
Moons over Miami, boy.
Pretty much.
This just dude drawing just, clocks on pieces of ham.
Yeah. This dude just walks in and starts yelling in the middle of a Denny's at 3 a.m.
Oh, man.
Everything you want.
Yeah. I've seen him about. I've never met him. I've seen him about. And he always wears the clock. He's clocked in. He is officially clocked in. And yeah, he's always making a scene.
He knows
and
his bit.
He's a character.
Yeah.
He's a character. But yeah.
I believe he's aware of that.
Yes. Yeah.
He's embraced it.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was an awkward meeting as well.
Oh, good.
Your wife went as well.
She did.
Her first Bruce.
Her first Bruce. Loved it.
And she's a singer.
She is. So and she
taking notes?
A little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little bit, here and there. She's sitting there. We're both listening for different things. She's listening for the different parts, for the arrangements, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it got her a little bit at the end. She cried at the end.
Oh.
Which brings me to my question, how long was it before you cried the first time? Did you cry before Bruce got on stage or after?
No, I did not cry before he got on stage.
Okay.
I didn't cry during the first song. He started singing No Retreat, No Surrender.
Ah.
I think it was his fourth song of the end of the concert.
Yeah.
We busted out of the class, had to get away from these fools. We learned more from a 3-minute record, baby, than we ever learned in school.
Poetry.
Come on!
Yep.
Oh. I gotcha. Bawled. I started bawling right away. And then I manned up for a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then my wife wasn't around.
Okay.
And then he sang Racing in the Streets, and I was a mess again.
Oh, I thought you were going to say then you found a prostitute.
Yes.
Because your wife wasn't around.
She's not around. It's Vegas.
Yep.
Ma'am, I need a shoulder to cry on. How
prostitute
much?
Prostitute 30.
Please. This isn't a euphemism.
Please comfort me.
I need to weep.
Yes.
I need to weep human tears.
Yes. I just need personal contact.
She's like, this isn't even top 10 weirdest kink I've dealt with in town.
Absolutely not.
And then I'd never heard Thunder Road live.
Oh, and that was good, too.
It was really good.
That was great.
So, yeah, so I cried 3 times.
Okay, just 3.
At the thing, yeah. Yeah.
I was very impressed. One thing I was very impressed about with the organization of it.
Yes.
Was I got an email a day or two earlier. You may have gotten the same email. Just from the ticket company, Ticketmaster, whatever it was. And they said Bruce will not have an opening act.
Yes.
And he will start promptly at 7:30.
Lie.
Lie. But we knew it was a lie.
No one. Like, why send that out? No one starts right on time.
I mean, I think just to get people there with some kind
of... We did start at 7:45.
Yes.
So that's like, Cher goes on. And any
well,
Cher
that's
fans?
My compliment.
Any Cher fans? No.
No.
Moving on. Cher starts off... She starts off like an hour and 20 minutes late.
Yeah.
And you know that. It's like standard if you go see her show. Now I know that maybe changed your mind. I have seen Cher. Has anyone seen Cher?
I've seen Cher.
Okay. This is I'm looking at, there's so many just dudes arms crossed with beards. Just not the Cher crowd at all.
Oh.
Beyonce's the same way.
Beyonce goes on late?
Yes. Very late.
Beyonce goes on late. That's just a weird thing. Now,
I mean, it's the rock star thing to do.
I also co-host Penn Sunday School with Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller. And Penn was close with friends with Lou Reed. And Lou Reed was hanging out with Penn one time when there was a big news that Guns N' Roses was holding up an award show because they had not arrived and they were supposed to play some big award show on TV.
Right.
And Penn and Teller are always on time, always perform, you know, go up 5 minutes after every single time.
Yes.
They're regimented. And at the time they were on Broadway and he turned to Lou and he's like, fucking, that's such bullshit. You know, Guns N' Roses, you know, being big time.
Yeah.
Whatever. And Lou Reed goes, no. That's his job.
That's the gig.
He's doing his job.
Yeah.
Lou Reed was like, Axl Rose.
He's being
not
Axl
showing up
Rose.
Is part of what you wanted when you asked them to come on the award show.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing everything he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And reprimanded Penn for thinking that Axl Rose was a hack.
And when he walks in the door, every single bit of attention in that building is going to be on Axl and Guns N' Roses.
Exactly. And that'll be the news stories and all the other stuff. And so,
That's it. Yeah, everybody's going to be there waiting for him. But yeah, I was going to compliment them on starting. They said we're going to start promptly at 7:30. They started like 7:47.
Yeah.
That's on time.
That is on time.
That's rock star on time.
That's rock star
that's
on time.
That's dead on time.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got there about 10 after 7, walked up, and huge lines out of the T-Mobile.
Yeah.
We were like, they're not starting at 7:30. Let's go get a shirt. So we didn't even attempt to get in there by 7:30.
Yeah. Now, we brought up two topics and we launched into one without giving you the choice. So I apologize. My kid lost 6-4 in the soccer game. So sorry. Just want to bring that back up. Make sure.
Oh, a lot of cheering for that. I don't think you could hear on the microphones, but the crowd just cheered for that. They are fans of the opposing team.
The eight-year-olds, yeah. Manchester United.
They played the Galaxy, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So now we've given you some time here. Does anybody here have a story? Ask for advice? Italian Air Show? Anything like that? No?
Okay.
Does anyone want to ask us anything as podcasters? Are we fellow podcasters? Do we have any weird podcast questions?
Oh, yeah. We've been doing this a long time now.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
We're like part of that weird... We're not quite the OG wave of podcast.
No, we're actually part of this very weird lucky wave. This is the truth. I say this all the time. People are like, because we make a modest living podcasting, people go like, no one makes money podcasting. And I say, we're really lucky. We did it when everyone was saying, oh, the big podcast is over.
Right.
You know, Mark Maron did it.
Yep.
Adam Carolla, done.
Yep.
This Joe Rogan guy might be around for a little while.
Yep.
But it's over. And this was 2014. And I was basically an avid listener, and I was like, of podcasts. And I was like, no way.
Yeah.
No. Like, there's no way people are going to stop listening to podcasts. Like, it's just it's a superior product to when you're walking your dog or driving your car to the other options.
Right.
That passive space isn't going anywhere. And so we doubled down. At the start, we started doing two episodes a week when no one was doing two episodes a week. We launched doing two episodes a week.
And longer shows, too. We were doing 90-minute shows. And
we're still doing 90-minute shows.
It feels much longer now.
In that part, we're a dinosaur.
Right.
Like, we can't adjust. It's certainly, if you're going to start one now, you would not start a 90-minute podcast.
We should cut down to, like, 5 minutes?
I think seven? So. Just tidbits?
Yeah.
We'll just read fortune cookie fortunes. And then be done.
That's our new bit.
Do you have a question? Do you want to? Can you go to the microphone?
Oh yeah, there's a microphone.
And you have a question too? No,
no.
You just want to point at your eye.
How did you guys meet?
How did we meet? Grindr.
Grindr. Yeah, Grindr.
No,
no. It's a bit of a fortuitous tale, really.
It is.
I'd come to town. I was running back when Vegas had a bunch of Broadway shows in town. I was running Spamalot at the Wynn, the Monty Python musical, and a new show.
Applause for
in.
Applause.
Nope. Oh, a couple of people.
Oh, so much more love for that show than Cher. So many people love Spamalot more than Cher.
Oh. She was in Spamalot, actually.
Answer me this question's three.
Oh. I have a better Cher impression than I would have guessed.
Me?
No, me.
Are you complimenting yourself?
I am.
We both did shares and you complimented you?
Yeah. Yours was fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I was running Spamalot and the new show moved in across the street at the Palazzo, across the street from the Wynn at the Palazzo, was Jersey Boys. And we had a Las Vegas Broadway show softball league at the time. And Jersey Boys joined that softball league. And so I'm meeting all the new Jersey Boys cast and crew. And one of the people that I met there was the dance captain, Sarah. And Sarah and I, we hit it off. We're hanging out. We're palling around. And then at some point, I met her boyfriend at the time.
Yeah, we weren't married yet.
Yeah. So I met her boyfriend at the time. That was Matt. Matt had gotten to know my wife through various gigs in town, maybe at the Venetian.
Yes, no, but specifically.
Oh, no. Yep, go ahead.
There's a group of people in town who wanted to take Stripperella, which is an old Stan Lee comic.
Yeah.
There was rumors that Pamela Anderson was going to revitalize her movie career by doing Stripperella. Mm-hmm. She might have even done it. I don't know.
I think she did.
And then they were going to do like a live interactive kind of like action dance funny show. You guys are, if you're wondering why you haven't seen it, that's because of the looks on your faces as I describe it. But I was brought in as a comedy writer, and your wife was brought in as a dancer. And so we were working very hard on that project to bring Stripperella to life. It did not work out, but she was the person I became friends with after that production. So she and I were friends.
So Matt got to be pals with my wife, and I got to be pals with Matt's wife at about the same time. And then I think we met at a party or something.
Yeah.
You know, one of the showbiz parties in town. We met at one of these, and
because you and Graham Fenton, who played Frankie Valli, liked fantasy football, so when I would go to these parties, you two were the only people I could talk sports with, because no one else in musical theater did like.
Yeah, not a lot of options.
Not a lot of
there.
Of,
But we were chatting one day, and I had done a podcast before. I did a show called Two Dumb Guys in a Hot Tub. A lot of fans of Two Dumb... Yeah, good, good. Appropriate as well. Cher was on it a lot.
What could go right?
Yeah. It was a good premise, though. It was like a 30-minute show. The first half of it was me.
Hold on. Say, how long?
30 minutes.
See, much better than ours. Yep. That's better. That's a better idea.
It was the two of us would talk for a little bit, and then we'd always have a guest on, and would have the guest in the hot tub. And yeah. I would add a bubbling, gurgling sound of a hot tub sound effect that would just be the bed. That would be the sound bed the entire time we had the guest.
I hardly ever listen. I just listen for the gurgling. I don't even listen for the conversation. I just go to sleep to Two Guys in a Hot Tub.
That's it. It was great. So we were chatting. You were already doing Penn Sunday School, I think, at the time.
Yes, it was. Yeah, yeah.
And I had done that, and we were chatting about podcasts a little bit. And then Matt called me up, I don't know, a few weeks, maybe a few months later, and was basically like, hey, I want to do this other show.
So my comedy partner,
wanna play?
Who we did improv with, Paul Mattingly's not here because he got a hip replaced. Mm.
Like a few days ago.
He's the same age as us, but that's what's going on in his life. But we had another studio with another audio engineer, and we got thrown out of it. we thought we were getting a good deal, and they did too. And they were like, let's stop doing this.
Yeah.
And so I called Jacob to be like the only other person I knew who worked with microphones. And was like, hey, we just got thrown out of our studio and lost our engineer. Do you like recording stuff?
And do you have stuff to record?
You have stuff to record with? Yeah, all we have is, like many improv comics, we have nothing. We can bring to the table nothing. We will show up on time. We won't Axl Rose you.
Right.
We will be on time. And that's it. That's all we have.
But our first, there's quite a few episodes, we were like a traveling show.
Yes.
We were like a traveling podcast. We would show up kind of in places like this. We did a few of them literally on stages, just in empty theaters.
You know, they were first revitalizing downtown Las Vegas, and they wanted all the best artists, and we should all be cross-pollinating. I know, we'll just always record our podcast live in the afternoon, and whoever walks by can hop on or listen. And the amount of people that did that was zero.
None?
Zero.
None.
Yeah, zero none. People took advantage of that.
Yeah.
Really except cool. That I hello.
Oh, hi.
How do you think yours is so much better than mine?
Man, mine's great.
So we tried to be very hip downtown. We tried to be part of the hip downtown revitalization.
Mm-hmm.
And downtown said, no, thank you.
Also, I hated that. I hate it more even now in hindsight, because every single time we would record a podcast, I had to get there half an hour early.
Yes.
An hour early.
Unload all the shit from your truck.
That's it. Unload everything. Set it all up.
Pay for parking.
Yep. My truck got hit twice, I think.
Yes.
While parked.
Yep.
Once in front of the Inspire Theater.
Not a lot of sober drivers downtown Las Vegas.
Weird.
Not a lot of people tip top on their DMV points.
Yep. I remember one time I walked outside and there was literally a hole in the side of my truck. There was a hole in my truck where an RV that had like something, some like pipe or bar or something sticking out from the side of it.
It's a meth lab.
I'm unclear on how it's not a meth lab. It's definitely a meth lab.
It was Breaking Bad. It was totally Breaking Bad happening right there.
But like some vehicle that had something hanging off the side of it had run into my truck, and whatever was on the side of it had punched through, not the window, but like the metal part.
Yeah.
And I walk outside, I'm like, there's a hole in my vehicle.
Yeah.
That wasn't there 2 hours ago. I wish it wasn't there now.
Yeah, we eventually just moved to your house.
We moved to my house for a while. We set up a studio in one of my guest bedrooms.
Yes, and there was a lot less damage to your car.
It was a lot less
damage. Significant.
And really easy for me to make it where we were going on time.
Yeah, it was already set up.
It was great.
It was a dream.
Yeah, and now we have studio. We've gone through a couple of studios since then, but now we have studios, and it's nice.
It is
because it means that we don't bring random guests that we have on our show just into my house.
Right, and your dogs don't attack them.
Yeah, the dogs don't attack them. My wife doesn't have to put pants on, which makes her happy.
Right.
Everybody's happier with studios.
You know, she never had to put pants on.
I kept telling her that. I was like, our guests like it more.
We're fine.
When you don't put pants on.
We're fine.
Yeah.
All right. If no one has questions, are you guys also podcasters?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, they're just here. All right, then I have questions for you. Why are you here?
Just Are you artists? Are you people who like art? Are you just consumers? What is this? Great.
Pete Dominic, the audio guy. Give it up for Pete, everybody.
Yeah.
Where is Pete?
Oh, he left.
Did Pete leave? Pete, why don't you get on the microphone, buddy?
Here comes Pete.
This mic? Is this mic?
Yeah, hey, that's you.
Hi, I'm nervous. Sorry. A little nervous.
You brought all these people here?
Well, I didn't bring them, but they
in a van.
I asked them to come.
Just driving around a minivan with a donut on a fishing pole.
Well, I did live radio for years and podcasting now for 4 years, but a lot of folks have been listening for almost 15 years or 10 years
oh,
or 5
wow.
years, and
yeah,
so
yeah.
This is our first ever get together.
And they like you so much that they've showed up early in the morning to watch people. Nobody's.
Well, these four.
Yes.
Yeah. But yes.
That's still some pull, buddy.
Yeah. Well, tonight we're going to have a big live show, so hopefully anticipating that. And really happy to have you guys here, though.
We appreciate it. But this, where we're recording now, we're going to go on our feed, right?
Yeah.
So I want you to tell us about the podcast you're doing now.
Thank you very much. So it's public interest. I do it daily. My idea was always to try to fight apathy, and I thought the best way to do that was to interview experts every day. So I interview a wide range of experts on a wide range of issues that impact most people, and that is it. And, you know,
that's not it. That's
if you interviewed Cher. So,
try to have fun.
Cool.
Yes.
That sounds super hard.
It really does.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It is. It's a lot of work, but I love it. So.
And do you just Zoom people in? You Zoom guests in?
I'm a little higher grade than Zoom. I use an app called StreamYard, but
great.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Highbrow.
Or do you have an expert booker?
I do everything.
You do everything.
Wow.
That's what I was going to say. It's like the
hard
part.
Well, I worked in corporate
media
forever, and I always had a team of producers, and turns out they didn't do anything. They weren't working. Yeah, so I took up the slack.
Don't tell people that.
Yeah.
But you have to admit now that it is work, though.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Booking a daily show. I used to book 2 guests a day, so 10 guests a week. Now I do about 5, 6, 7 guests a week.
Good.
That's a lot of guests.
I
really
know
is.
A lot of people, guys.
No, but you have to have run out of people for
Never.
Expertise.
Never.
For expertise?
Nope. What's They're easy to find. Name a subject.
Writing.
What is it?
Writing.
Don't know anybody.
Okay.
Pole vaulting.
Yeah, a guy named Quarkos Korvinikos. He's Ukrainian, and the problem is he's not such an expert because they used to use bamboo, and the new poles obviously are more flexible, so I got to find someone who understands how technology in pole vaulting has...
He's antiquated.
Yeah, he's a little bit... He's actually 92, so...
Who? What's one of the coolest experts you've tracked down?
Oh, my God. I'll take up the rest of your podcast.
That's what we're actually trying to do.
I think that in a world where everybody is questioning everything, you have to try your best to find the most credible voices on things. And overall, I think there's the guy who comes to mind is probably the best health researcher in the country. How do you say such a thing? But his name is Dr. Aaron Carroll. He's now the president of Academy Health. He was at Indiana University for years. He's probably the smartest person I've ever met in my life. And more importantly, he can answer all your questions about your body and your health and debunk myths using all of the best research, which we all think we're great researchers because we Google. But
right.
They'll tell you, the people who have degrees, that is not research.
I agree with them and you. That drives me crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done my research line is something one of the most, anyone who says that usually has not.
Oh, at That's best, right. you've read other people's research.
At best.
Yeah.
Some people think they're really smart and they read the abstract of a research paper and then they claim they know.
Yeah.
How many times have you had him on?
Oh, a million. One million.
Easily. Just.
He used to come on weekly.
Right.
Yeah. And, there's
because there's just endless questions for
there's
that
no
guy.
Shortage of your body and your health. We're all hypochondriacs about something. We're all worried about something. It might be too hyperbolic to say but you think if this allergy, STD, anything, cancer, everything organic, you name it. He looks at all of the research. He's got a very popular YouTube channel himself called Healthcare Triage. He's simply the best.
I mean, he kind of snuck in STD on that list. Did you notice that?
And I had five questions. I was like, I shouldn't ask them now.
Yeah.
That's when people have sex, sometimes you can get something.
When people have what?
It's sex, intercourse.
What's that like?
It's been a while. I heard.
It's wetter than you think.
I heard it can be hard. It's
wetter. Can you remember a recent time where an expert changed your mind on something?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday.
Okay.
I was just talking to a guy out there about EVs. He made some good points.
electric vehicles.
Yes. Sorry. The electric vehicles.
Were you anti?
Huh?
Were you anti?
No. I was the first one to get one. Not one to brag. But in 2010, I bought a Chevy Volt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like those.
And then I bought another one.
Yep.
Yep.
They don't make those anymore, right?
They don't, because of me.
Oh.
What did you do?
I pissed off Chevy with a broadcast, and they ended the... Yeah, I said one bad thing about the Chevy Volt, and the entire GM almost came down, because the podcast has a lot of power.
Yeah. Wow.
Either that, or people weren't buying them. I forget which one it was. Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I really considered buying a Chevy Volt at one point, and then I didn't.
Okay.
So that could be part
what
of the
reason.
What
did you end up buying? Electric bike?
Not electric.
Name another subject, and I would love to plug another guest on your guys' podcast.
Sports?
I don't do sports.
Good.
Okay.
Fuck sports.
I don't do sports.
So
I don't
writing,
do music.
Not sports. Yep. You don't do music.
I do. I pick subjects that I think impact the most people. So I wouldn't. I'm not doing cerebral palsy, but I might do, you know, I do anxiety. I might.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about like a city planning or how cities should behave differently in the future?
How cities?
Yeah.
Yeah, the future of blank is something I've been doing forever. So I talked to a lot of experts about sustainability.
Okay.
And I think David Roberts is probably the smartest person in the country on that.
Okay.
And he has a great podcast and it's called Volts. And if you ever talk to him about anything, energy and sustainability and the future of living, love him.
Oh, good. This is what I'm curious about because basically like it feels like in the mainstream way, we either think the world is on fire and we have years to live and that's it and it's over, or nothing's our problem, nothing's our fault, let's do nothing and don't let people tell you you should do anything.
Well, when you drive into Vegas, you think it's more of the latter. No offense, Vegas.
Offense taken.
But when you fly in here and see a ball on fire, you're like, I wonder how that's powered.
My hopes and dreams.
I bet it's coal.
Do you try to give people
it's
like...
It's actually a lump of coal, the sphere, isn't it? And they just light it every night?
And that's why the E3 band's going to play there.
Yeah, they're going to be great.
Yeah, yeah.
Just Bruce's face.
But do you have people who think there's practical little things that can be done that can make the world better?
For sure. Yeah, and I tend to be an optimist about even the most dire circumstances and try to keep that tone as the world does burn. And so, yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of that gradation of how bad it's going to be. And you know, I mean, you're predicting the future. Uncertainty is uncertainty. So nobody really knows, I think.
Now you're hosting a show tonight.
Yes.
And are you doing, do you stand up?
I do stand up for 20-some years, yeah. Not as much. I'm semi-retired because I was raising my kids and I got work in TV and radio and I didn't want to be on the road.
Right.
And
the stand-up lifestyle is brutal.
It's horrible. It's a horrible life. And you can either be a good father or a good comedian.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
You can't be home on weekends. You're not going to be, it's hard to be a great parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stand-up, touring musician. Yeah, it's all.
Ophira Eisenberg is here. She's a comedian. She'll be doing her podcast a little later on. It's called Parenting as a Joke. She interviews a lot of comedians who are parents, and she has been on the road forever. Not a good mom.
Yeah.
Or, I mean...
Is that your intro? Is that how you're going to bring her up?
Or I would say person, but funny. Real funny. Real smart, but not a good parent. Terrible.
Here's someone that's going to be funny. Yeah. She doesn't raise her children well.
Yeah. I interviewed her son. He doesn't like her. He said, who? She's never here.
Yeah.
But that's a self-con... You always deal with that insecurity. You're on the road. And I chose to be home, and I was able to carve out a great career where I didn't have to travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I worked in corporate media forever, which we could talk about forever. And now I live in a shed and do a podcast.
Well, doing corporate media has got to be strange because media has changed dramatically over the last decade for sure, and even just the last 3 years.
Well, doing corporate media is strange, but it's also, you know, pretty insidious and pretty...
Sounds like you want to get something off your chest. Is there something you want to say about corporate media?
Well, I think that you got to make a lot of compromise to do, you know, to survive at that company. Name a corporate media company. You have to do things. You have to censor yourself to a certain extent.
Right.
And I never really did that. I had, you know, pretty full control of everything. But I love also not working there anymore. It built me, but I don't
Do you feel like it gave you, like, secret superpowers that now you're, like rugged... artistic media that you kind of have an advantage by
all these people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Being, you know, on satellite radio for 12 years is a huge platform longer.
Right.
And so, yeah, it allowed me that so that I could go independent. So people always ask, how do you have a successful, how do you make a successful podcast? I'm like, well, you build an audience on a traditional platform. If you're on TV or radio for years, then you go say, I now have a podcast. You already had an audience. To build the podcast from scratch is hard.
That is a better answer than the one that we give when people ask us that.
Yeah, what's your answer?
My answer is usually put the shows out on time because people want them to be there when they expect them to be there. And that's kind of the end of my list.
We did build ours kind of
We built ours very, very much from scratch. I think our first episode had like 60 listeners
the
first week.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Is that like, you know, whatever that 1% doctrine is, like as soon as you get a foothold, it's easier to grow.
I have 62 and 60 of them showed up this week. So those two bastards. I got to work and live. I don't like Vegas. It makes me feel unsafe.
Are you happy now? Or you feel like you're in the lane you want to be in?
Absolutely. This is the culmination. Like, after this week, I'll be miserable because this is the best it'll ever be. Like, getting to meet the people. I mean, I've met so many of them over the years and on Zoom.
Right.
We've been, the pandemic created a community for us online. And we connected through that and through the podcast every day and stay connected. And I think that's what a lot of podcasts, hopefully you guys have that community element is really everything us.
It's everything. Yeah. It's something that I did not fully understand getting into it. I didn't understand how much of a two-way it was going to be. Like, they're going to chime in. We're going to have conversations all the time.
Yeah.
And then the biggest thing now is a listener will apologize for knowing things about me even though we haven't met.
Yes.
And I said, I've been the one talking into a microphone.
Yeah.
It's the whole idea.
Well, yeah, welcome to my life. Yeah.
Thousands of hours
so
of us talking.
So don't feel bad knowing how many children I have. Yeah. And
when you share a lot too, it's you want to be as vulnerable and honest, or at least I do. So everybody knows that I can't grow hair on my legs before they even met me. Yeah. And they've not been nice about it, by the way, I'll tell you that. A lot of alopecists here.
Oh. Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah. A lot of anti.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That was awful.
No,
best one yet.
No. You missed it. He was showing me how much hair he has.
I know. That's it.
I almost took my shirt off because I talked about what I can control. I do.
Do your children want to be in media and entertainment?
As a matter of fact, my daughter's a freshman at Ithaca College studying television film, and she's an actor, writer, director, track. That's what she wants to go.
Do you feel good about that?
Are you happy about that?
Horrible. Okay. Horrible
idea. You feel good about paying tuition to Ithaca for that?
It's a horrible idea, but yeah, I support her no matter what she wants to do.
So. That's right.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I told her, don't do this.
Stop it.
People who don't have kids, that's always like, why don't you just tell them?
Well, you're like, my parents supported me going into show business. My dad was an insurance agency owner. My mom was a public school teacher, so they didn't have any thoughts of show business. They wanted to support me, whatever, which is amazing. But I have had a career in show business, so I know what happens to men, straight white guys. It's really hard. So sending my female daughter into a business where, you know, it's not really a meritocracy,
right,
and Harvey Weinstein used to run it,
yes,
then, you know, it feels, but I think she's amazing and talented, and I'm sure she'll do great.
That's right. That's right.
I have a niece that wants to be a performer, and my wife and I both try very hard to convince her, like, that's a really good hobby. You should really do that as a
hobby.
I
think you guys, maybe we should think about creating a company where we do interventions for people who want to enter certain businesses and be like, don't. And every answer is AI is going to do that in 2 years. Just maybe,
maybe
get into farming.
Have you thought about selling things at a farmer's market?
It's really lucrative.
It's a good gig.
We just came up with a test that's loaded to, like, make sure they qualify to be an engineer. Yeah, that's what we just do. And then we just do it that way.
You know how to program AI. Just program shit.
We got it. Pete, thank you so much for having us at your
festival.
Yeah,
you guys are great. I'm really enjoying it. Thank you for inviting me on the mic and on your podcast and being here.
And one more time, say your name just for our listeners.
Pete Dominic, for all of your listeners. Stand Up with Pete Dominic, yes.
All right.
Please subscribe. Thank you.
Subscribe. Check
it
out.
Because I have to pay for that. My daughter's college.
Yeah, we got Ithaca tuition. That's not cheap. That's.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Pete. Give it up for Pete Dominic. All right, Jacob, what did we learn?
We learned that you shouldn't go into show business.
Great. Yep.
We learned that I do a fantastic Cher impression.
That's
and we
debatable.
Learned that you do a an okay one.
Ah, gosh. Okay. Yep. Fair enough. We learned that no one here has seen or will see Cher in concert.
No. Why would they now?
No.
They've seen me do a line for line, spot for spot, perfect Cher impression.
But, and I think that's good. I want to thank these guys for having us out here. We're Matt and Jacob from Ice Cream Social. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.